To Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. I want to take this time, just real quick, while you guys are turning there, to say on behalf of my wife and I, thank you for the last 4 years. I came as what he would say, no facial hair till now. I tell people I wear the facial hair to keep warm because of where I'm going. But I just heard tonight it's a great excuse to hide my ugliness. So now I'm going to start using that one. So that's a perfect example. But came here with a lot of immaturity, to be honest to you, if you think about it. You just graduated out of college, and you are thinking you have everything figured out. You know what I'm saying, Brian? Yeah. And then it hits, and you're like, oh, I have to provide for myself. And then you have this lady that you're going to marry, and then you have to provide for her. And you're sitting there thinking, what did I do? And then everything kind of just fell in place all at the same time. And then, you know, then you have to deal with, you have no kids to all of a sudden having a youth group of kids. You know, yeah, Nick and the very originals, as we call them, the ones that were there at the very beginning. We started with 6 or 7, and, you know, the Lord's blessed through that. It wasn't anything that we did, but it was just the faithfulness of people serving and people like you investing in their lives that now we've grown to a very good amount of teenagers that come on Sundays and Wednesdays, and praise the Lord for that. But just to see where I've been and where I am now has been attributed a lot to this church. If you think about it, everybody invests and has invested in my life and my wife's life. You think of Indian tribes. I know I'm going to use this real quick. But everybody in the tribe has a responsibility to raise that child that is born. And although I wasn't raised in the church, it was still a raising process. And everyone was a part of that. Everyone in this church, even from the kids up to the oldest person here, everyone had a responsibility, and they fulfilled it. And then the Lord started speaking to Brittany and I, as you've heard, last spring sometime, and started moving and trying to find out where we should go, and just was leading that direction. And we went to that Heartland graduation conference, and the Lord just kind of nailed down right there, like, boom, you know, we want you to move somewhere. Not the fact that nothing was wrong here, but the Lord wanted us to go somewhere else. And that's tough to make that decision, especially when you come here, this is the first place you're at, everything seems comfortable, there's familiarity, people have treated you like kin, as you know, that's a new word that I've learned. And so you know, and you feel like you've grown up in the church of the people here. And then for God to say, okay, no, I want you to go somewhere else, that's difficult. And then, you know, you have a couple places that we went to, just didn't work out, and Minnesota comes up. I'm like, really, Minnesota? I mean, so I started talking to my mother-in-law, and she says, you know, that's colder than South Dakota. And I always told her, I'd never ever go there, because it's cold, right? So we go to Minnesota, and instantly we fell in love with it, and we knew that was where the Lord wanted us. And all those worries, all those things went away. But it wasn't the fact of we forgot of where we came from. I don't want you guys to forget that. I don't want you guys to think that's what we're doing. I thank the Lord that He has allowed me and my wife to be here, to serve here, to grow up here, as in the sense of grow up in the ministry. You know, just imagine if I went from Bible college out to pastoring. I'm not like that. There are some that can do that. I'm not. I'm still crazy, as you guys know. So I want to thank you so much for it. Without getting too sentimental, so I can go and continue to preach, I'm going to continue. So Daniel chapter 6, there's the whole passage we can read. It's a very familiar topic, very familiar character in the Bible. Some people's favorite character, but we're going to look on the aspect, and I'm going to title it this, which will give it away, is don't let your circumstances cause you to stop serving God. Don't let your circumstances cause you to stop serving God. Let's read verse 1. It says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said this unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it may, or that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. This is very interesting. It seems like it almost as right after he signed it, Daniel went and did this. We don't know the amount of time. God doesn't describe it, but this is his response. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Let's pray and we'll get started. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this night. Lord, we thank you for your many blessings and your mercy, Lord, and the love that you bestow upon us, even though we don't deserve it. Lord, we ask now that you meet with us, Lord, that you would be heard, and that I would be a mouthpiece that you could be that you could use, and Lord, that you would just convict hearts and lives. Lord, we ask now that we would just to pay attention to your word for these next couple moments, and Lord, that you'd bless and be honored and glorified through it all. We ask all these things in Jesus' name, amen. Now, you know, much of how we feel, or at least me, much of how I feel is dictated or dependent upon the circumstances of my life. Have you ever noticed that? You could be having, for example, everyone can relate to this. In Mobile, it rains a lot, right? When it rains, exactly, yes. When it rains, it is all dark and gloomy, and most of the time, what do we all feel like doing? Going home, watching TV, curling up, you know, with a blanket and watching some Netflix, right? We feel like doing nothing. That's just how, is anyone else there with me on that one, or am I alone? All right, so, okay, good. All right, Tina, Miss Tina's back there. She's good, okay. So at least when it's raining, I know the circumstances around that are, you know, it's gloomy, it's dark, it's nasty outside. Why do I want to go and do anything? So, you know, what I do is I tend to go home and I watch some TV. I might play some video games and really just lay around and do nothing. You know, it's funny because if we're tired, we don't feel like working out. If we're, whatever the case may be in our life, the circumstance or whatever it is, it really dictates how we do things. You go to work and, you know, you hadn't had a good day before, and so when you go to work the next day, you really don't put a lot of effort into it. If you have kids, if you're in school, you know, and you're about to start school, or some of you already have, you know, you don't like a teacher. So because of the circumstances behind that, what happens is you really don't put much effort in the class. Most of our lives, the time that we are awake, is dictated based upon the circumstances that are happening around us. Now, Daniel here, he came from basically nothing to destroy Jerusalem, brought into, just a couple chapters before, brought into this foreign land that destroyed everything that he knew. And he was brought into this culture, and they wanted to assimilate him into the culture. They wanted to brainwash him, basically. They wanted him to think like a Persian, and they wanted to have him think like a Babylonian. And so he's gone through all these different things and processes, and now he's older, and he's made here in chapter 6, verse 1, he's made basically a couple verses, actually, a president, top president of basically everybody. All right? So he answers solely to the king. As best as what I can see here, and by my study, as best as I can see that, he answers only to the king. But what we notice, the circumstances right now are great. Okay? The circumstances are this. He is the top president, and the two other presidents really answer to him amongst the whole realm of the kingdom. And we find out here that the king wanted to make him basically the president or the head of all the realms. So almost like eliminate the three presidents and just make him sole ruler of everything, and he just really goes and answers to the king. Well, could you imagine the other two? We find out here, we can see their thought process. Man, the king is favoring this guy more than he's favoring us, we don't like it. Let's conspire to do something about it. You know? So the circumstances here for Daniel right now are, they're great. He has a lot of wealth. He has no problems. It's peaceful. And then these guys, they start conspiring. They get all the other princes, and they get all the other governors, and they all kind of get against him, and they say, what can we do? What can we do? And they look at Daniel's life. And they look at Daniel's life, and we've read it, and it says basically that they find no fault against him. He's faithful in everything that he does. He's a faithful man in his character, his life, and his morality, and all those things. They find him faithful in his work ethic. All right, so they're stepping back. How are we going to get Daniel to mess up? Or how are we going to get Daniel to get in trouble, or kind of take Daniel out of the picture so we can, you know, get there to be the top dog? They realize, and this is already a testament before we even get to the verses, that they say basically we have to get him against his own religion or against his God. Because apparently Daniel had established something already. He had established faithfulness because the word has already been used. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. In verse 4. He was faithful. So because he was faithful in his service to God. Now understand this. When they went against him, they knew that they had to do something or to basically set him up. So if Daniel was already, he had that witness, that testimony of him being faithful, they had to make something that they knew that basically he would not stray from doing. So we come to our verse that we ended, verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, and we all know the writing, it says basically that if you pray to any other god or make petition to any other god besides the king, you'll be thrown into a den of lions. Pretty scary, right? How many of you ever petted a lion? Pastor, what did you actually pet? A cheetah. Were you nervous? Oh man, not a good illustration, okay. How many of you actually have ever petted a lion? How many of you gotten a foot close to a lion? Like you know, a foot. Not, I mean, there was just bars, and it was like right there. Not glass, just bars. Okay, all right, there's some of us, all right. Now, I don't know about you. The other, how was that? I think it was last year or this year. We were at some kind of zoo, and you know how lions, like, most of the time you don't find them active. They're laying on a rock somewhere, and they're just like, well, I'm just chilling out. Like, why are these people watching me and whatnot? Well, these two lions, they were really active, and they were like pacing the door, or pacing by the door where the guy was going to come out and like feed him stuff and run away. And then he was pacing the window and kept going back. But then he yawned. And you don't realize the significance and the power of a lion until all of a sudden his jaws open, and you see everything that's inside of his mouth, you know. And so his jaws open, he yawns, and it's like, oh, wow, that's a big lion. What big teeth you have, lion, you know. You see the tongue comes out, and it looks like it could wrap around your face and suffocate you or something. Like, all right? But for real, though, you see the lion, and it's like, oh, my. This thing could literally tear me to shits. Am I really going to run faster than this lion? No. Am I really going to put up a fight against this lion? No. Now, so the consequences were ferocious lions that I guarantee probably weren't fed. Because, you know, they want them to eat the people that get put in the lion's den. So they're going to kind of starve them until they get something in there, and they're just going to tear them to shreds. So these lions are there in this den, and you can imagine the how scared people would be. Now, in a sense, okay, in a spiritual sense, we are becoming, or this country or this world is coming to a place where we are going to be scared for our lives when we are trying to choose whether we do it the world's way or serve God. Where there's coming a time and a place, and it's coming very soon. And I don't know about you, it's very easy for us to say, yes, bless God, I'm going to serve Him to the day I die, and I'm going to serve Him no matter what. But when we actually face it, how are we going to actually face it? You know what I'm saying? When that circumstance in our life comes about, when a trial or a problem comes about, it's so easy outside of that to say, hey, I'm going to serve God no matter what. But then when we get in it, you know what oftentimes we do? We stop. And we step aside and we step away. Why? Because it's easy. How many of you like to do things the hard way? No. None of us do. And you know what? Many times when we do it God's way, it's hard. God never promised that it's always going to be easy. But he did promise that he's going to see you through it if you follow him. So what's interesting here is we don't find anything that Daniel said, oh man, he's scared. We don't see his actions portray anything that he is wavering in his faith. All it says here in verse 10 is, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. It was almost like saying this. The decree was signed. He went back, you know, to pray to God to help him through this. But he's like, I'm throwing this back in your face, king. Here you go. Oh, yeah, the presidents and the counselors and the governors. Yeah, you have nothing on me. I'm still going to serve God. And we know the rest of the story. I've always imagined as a young child, these counselors and these governors and these presidents, there's probably 4 or 5 of them that were kind of really close together. And they were the ones watching. And they were probably close to Daniel's window. And maybe they had surveillance out, you know, and things like that. And they had they were all kind of just around the window. And I imagine when he went and knelt down in front of that window, for some reason I always pictured some dude on a roof, like listening, and another dude outside the like window listening, and then another guy in another building with a telescope looking at him. I don't know why, but I've always imagined that. They were waiting and basically to trap him, and they got him. They ran back to the king and said, King, look. We got him. He prayed to God. He didn't pray to you. He prayed to God. Now, by our law, you cannot go against it. You have to do something about it. So, King, regretfully, it talks about here, just for sake of time, I'm not going to read the whole passage. But regretfully, he's sitting there like, wow. Because he's favored amongst the king. He's one of his favorites. He said, man, I got to do something about this. I signed the decree. I am the king. I have to do something about it. It says here in verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest, what? Continually he will deliver thee. You know, there's a reason why the king said that. Right? He knew something about Daniel. He knew that this was not going to detour Daniel from serving God. He knew that Daniel was still going to serve God even in amongst the den of lions. How often are we in a den of lions actually serving God? It's really easy to serve him on the high mountaintops of life, but when we get down below, it's real easy to say, God, why did you do this? It's real easy to say, this is not worth it. I'm stepping away and I'm going to do my own thing. It's real easy to do that. But we find here, he's saying, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. We know the story. He's in the den of lions. The lions are kind of, you know, just hanging out there. And my whole thing of that is they probably all slept. And basically he slept and used one as a pillow and the other one covered him up as a blanket. Next morning, woke up. You know, one of them got hungry. And Daniel's like, hey. And all of a sudden, an angel comes. Shuts his mouth closed. Another one, I'm not tasty. Hey, angel came, shut his mouth closed. The king runs up to the den, you know, with the stone on top of it, takes the stone off and says, Daniel, are you alive? And you know what? Daniel said, hey, what's up, man? I'm alive. Now, I know, I'm paraphrasing, I know, okay? For sake of time, all right? Well, from this, though, the king makes a decree and says, basically, his God is the true God, and anybody else that prays and serves to another God, bad juju is going to happen. That's besides the point. So really, what we're looking at then is what we do or how we get through our circumstances, our life circumstances, how we can get through them or what we should look at and how we can get through them to keep on serving God. There's 2 things I think that I can find here that I believe that are very beneficial. Number 1, continue or remain faithful in your service to him, despite what's going on, if it's good or if it's bad. Now, continue, it's a very interesting word. It means this, to remain in a state, place, to abide for any time indefinitely, or to last, to endure, to be permanent, to persevere, to be steadfast. How often, or wouldn't you like, actually, wouldn't you like for someone to say, wow, they're steadfast in the service to the King? Wouldn't you like that to be said about you? Man, they're steadfast. Nothing can move them. Man, he's so unmovable. That person's so unshakable. And not for the aspect of, hey, look at me, but for the aspect of bringing glory to God. Could you imagine the testimony that Daniel had throughout this whole time? Daniel was a high-profile man. This wasn't something that was small and insignificant. I can imagine the people here, we don't have anything about it, but the people knew about it, and they were saying, oh, what's going to happen? And when Daniel, you know, they all get up in the morning, and Daniel's still alive, like, oh. And the testimony was this, basically, that because Daniel remained faithful, that God, the one true God, delivered him. When we remain faithful, despite our circumstances, God is glorified and God is seen. That's what our lives are supposed to be about. But too often, we let the circumstances of our life, and it could vary. And I'm not trying to harp on anybody, but it could be a death of somebody or a close loved one, or it could be a loss of a job, or it could be whatever the case may be. We could say, oh, woe is me, or man, this stinks. And it does stink, but guess what? Continue to serve God. Don't let that deter you from serving Him. You know, and I'm going to tie it in this way, is what has been going on here at Crossroads Baptist Church, the transitions, the different things that have been going on. Don't let that or the circumstances that have happened deter you from your place here at Crossroads Baptist Church. Pastor needs you, but not only just pastor. That's besides the point. God wants you here to serve. Could you imagine, and I'm not, could you imagine if pastor had to do everything? He's preaching, and then he had to turn around and say amen, and then he had to sing, and then he had to go drive the bus, and he had to go and teach children, he had to go do this. He can't. So it's really up to us. It's really up to the church, in spite of what's going on, to still serve God. It's really up to you. Don't let your circumstances deter you from serving Him. Remain faithful, continue, be steadfast, persevere. But number two is this. Notice that Daniel, when he prayed, he went to an open window. And I like to think of this, that he did this courageously. What we talked about is his life was now on the line. Right? He was going to die if he disobeyed the king's law. He was going to die. People were out to get him, but yet he courageously served God. People are out to get Christians. They're out to make Christians look bad. They're out to make Christianity something that's as a fairy tale. They're out to basically dishonor us, to make us look foolish. And many people will wilt under that pressure. But if we remain and continue faithfully in God's Word, we can courageously serve Him no matter the cost. Hey, if you lost a friend, whoop-dee-doo. You know why? Because for eternity, it doesn't matter. I've always heard, you know, if you looked at the grand scale of eternity past and eternity future, could you actually see yourself on the map? No, you couldn't. You really couldn't. Well, wow, that makes me really insignificant. You're not. Because God has placed you at this specific time for a specific reason, for a specific purpose, to do His will. And so because of that, you have to live courageously in a world that doesn't really want what you have. They didn't want Daniel. They didn't want what Daniel had. Daniel had to live courageously. But not only that, he had to face the consequences. Would you be willing to face the consequences? Would you be able to face the ridicule? You're saying, Brother Scott, this is something that you know, you teach kids and no, it's not. Look, in my workplace where I worked at Publix, I worked with some pretty different people. Some things that would not agree with the Word of God. And I had to be bold. And you know what? I can't say that I was bold 100% of the time. Because I was afraid of what would happen afterwards. I was afraid of what would come about of it. You look at Daniel's life. You look at the chapter 1 of it. of Daniel. And you find that he faced basically eating the king's meat, and he knew he couldn't. And faithfully, he followed what God told him to do. And look, he was the strongest person there, along with Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And then you find out, you know, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, that they were told to bow down and worship the king. And when the music played and they didn't, they're thrown into the fiery furnace. And they said, basically, if God saves us, God saves us. If he doesn't, he doesn't. But he's still God. No matter what is going on in your life, still serve him. Look, you can be having the worst day in your life, but that shouldn't mean you say, I'm going to not do anything for God today. You know what happens when you do that? This is what happens. God comes and speaks to me and says, hey, I want you to go speak to Terry over there. Terry needs the Lord. He needs it badly. And if I'm having a bad day, I say, Lord, no, my day stinks. Why would I want to go tell someone about God right now? Hey, God's over, son, it doesn't matter what the circumstances you're going through right now. Just serve me. God, really, if I do this, he's going to laugh. All right, Scott, really? I got your back. I am God. I'm here for you. I'm going to see you through it no matter what happens. Now, I'm not trying to say that in not reverence, and I don't mean it that way, but what I'm trying to say is our circumstances really, really dictate our service for him. And because of that, churches die. Because of that, you die spiritually, as in the sense of you're not growing, you're not producing fruit. And just because of what has been going on, just because of the transition, should not determine whether you back out of church or not. Shouldn't determine, man, there's never going to be like so-and-so, and there's never going to be another Brother Don. There's never going to be, you know, that doesn't matter. Still, serve God. You look at different characters in the Bible. You have Job. Everything was taken from him. Everything. And his own wife came to him and says, curse God and die. And Job says, no. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Could you do that? In your life circumstance, wherever you may be at in your life, everyone has one. Rich, healthy, poor, sick. Everyone is in a certain circumstance in their life. Could you serve God faithfully and courageously? It's a choice that you have to make. And if you decide to say, you know what, I'm not going to do those two things. I'm going to step away and I'm going to do my own thing. What eventually happens is your love for God dwindles. What eventually happens is other voices start creeping in your head, telling you it's not worth it, telling you that you're wasting your time. The reason why I say that, I've seen that in my own youth group. I know the pastor's seen it in his youth group, where something happened, a divorce in their parents, and because of that, it affected them. They stopped coming to church, and lo and behold, it was all because basically they let the circumstances dictate their service for them, for God. So I ask you, and I know I keep saying this, but it's a very important question. Will you let your life circumstances dictate your service for him? If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed...